somehow get to my For You page, like the just very random topics. For example, just yesterday I was looking at it, and a video about, I don't know how just Instagram had this thought that I should give her content about goggles and stuff like sunglasses. And I was like, why do I have a reel relating to sunglasses on my For You page on Instagram, like the Reels page? And I was so weirded out by it. I was like, I just don't know which algorithm, because I think a lot of the youngsters, Gen Z, and everybody's really using these words so often, like algorithm. Which algorithmic formula would they have applied for me to have to watch this video? Like, I have been watching past 7 reels just on things to do in Vancouver, for example. And now the 8th video is randomly about footwear or something like that, like totally random. And I was just thinking, if we have such good algorithms which we think can really decide as to what I want to see, then even how does it happen that sometimes it's just like very random things that I just have to watch? Why does it happen that way? And as I was experiencing that sort of idea, I was reading also some while back. I started reading, but I didn't finish, obviously. Was my supervisor's work in the book called Updating to Remain the Same. So habitual new media. So like how, I think I've talked briefly about it, but in terms of like social technologies. But she specifically talks about online communities and all those things. So essentially, the book is really the title. So Updating to Remain the Same. So how we are just updating not only our apps, but our social behaviors to just remain the same, in the sense that there is no qualitative change in how things happen. It might be easier, it might be convenient, and so on, but does it really change something substantially? So that's the sort of question. In different directions, obviously, the book goes, and it's really a fantastic book. I definitely recommend, highly recommend it. But I think it really hones into this idea that, yeah, essentially technology is keeping us, yeah, at the same spot. There's nothing really changing in the world. Oh, revolution, AI revolution, technology is going to change everything. That's not happening. Essentially, that's the book about. But no, one of her chapters actually talks about this idea of imagined networks and global connections. That's the title of the chapter. And in that, she talks a little bit about how we understand the quote-unquote we, or the quote-unquote community, is made online, so through our social media presence. And by this, if I were just to crudely put it, it would be how the followers and following on your Instagram, maybe you have like a personal account, how does that form? And if you have like a public account, how does that form? Or like if you have like a friends group, or like you make friends through Instagram solely, how do those operate, and how those content flow happens through that? I think I'm mixing quite a lot of themes here, but essentially she questions this idea of homophily, in the sense that we think, and it has been such a dominant frame in our psychology and in the conversations that I've heard and been part of as a Gen Z, is that, we see so much similar content because, for example, let's again come back to the example of Instagram. If I go on and see some video, I will also see which people liked which reels, or which people liked what kind of content. So if I see like my friend liked a post or like a reel, I will be recommended to watch that reel whenever I launch into my Instagram as well. And that's happening because these apps operate on this idea that people with similar interests are friends. So if you are friends or following each other, you would have some similar content or like have similar connection in some way. So based on that connection, it gives you recommendations. So for example, I was watching a reel on how the life of a person in healthcare is. And I got this video recommendation because one of my friends is going to med school. So she actually liked that video. So like I also really liked that video because I also come from like a sort of like a science background. So I was like, yeah, that's funny. And the next day what happened is like all of my feed was full of these, almost all of my feed was full of these med school, chemistry, physics, jokes and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Like, why would this happen? But I also realized that there were conditions where not all of the content was about it. I again had this thing come up where there was like really random content show up on my For You pages. And so I think we need to question this understanding of how homophily operates in specifically online spaces, because homophily, if I were just to like search that on Google, it would mean that the tendency for people to seek out or be interested in those who are similar to themselves. So this idea that we make friends with or we connect with people or communities or users in a way, or like our network. I'm just going to use network. You understand what I mean. All those users / friends / yeah. So all of these networks are created because you have similar interests as yourself. So you guys have similar interests, that's why you come together. But that's not the case. We know this notion that opposites also exist. And these platforms actually use and weaponize this idea in a way that we just get hooked to the platform. For example, I think this chapter talks about how the recommendation systems happens on Netflix. And yeah, it gives an example of that. Homophily does exist. So the recommendations that come up in Netflix are based on the users who are watching the same content as you and are in the same, let's say, geographical area. Or maybe when you like sign up for Netflix, I know they ask for your age and stuff. So like maybe your age demographics. So it like shows you, okay, so this is what mostly people around 20 are watching. So they recommend you that. But sometimes you would see that the most random film would be like showing up in your recommendations section. And that is because these platforms employ this notion that homophily, which is this, if I were just to put it in a metaphor or idiom of some kind, would be that birds, birds of a dash flock together. I just forgot the line, but you get the idea, right? Birds of a dash flock together. There's something I know. Birds of a feather, was it? Yeah, okay, it's birds of a feather flock together. Oh, nice. So this idea that, okay, people who have similar interests would be in a social network, so to say. But this needs to be questioned because not all the connections are based on this idea that we have similar interests or we have opposite interests. So it's a homophily or a heterophily. It's much more complicated because even if you think that, okay, it's just a recommendation system, it's good that I'm getting these different videos, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is when these recommendation systems are used by governments to make decisions. So for example, in giving insurance plans, in deciding your payrolls, deciding if you would be called for an interview or not, deciding if you would be sent to jail or not, if you get a bail or not. All these questions are being sort of given in the hands of these recommendation AI software tools to find who should be and who should not be given a bail based on their past records. That's where the problem comes in. Even if you think there's no problem in making those communities, those silos online, it is a problem, definitely, when it's being being employed in how things happen through the government. So, yeah, that's interesting, you know. And I think it goes back to the argument that I was making in the beginning of this episode, that academia and government should come together. And that's the reason, because academia is seeing that this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And the government, I'm not saying they're not listening to this, but they need to be given concrete steps to be taken to avoid this from happening, so to say. I'm just going to play music because it's just me talking about random stuff that I'm interested in. but I want you guys also to enjoy some song. It's a pretty nice afternoon out there. So I just don't want you guys to just have to listen to my rant or like a book review of some sort. So yeah, I don't want to bore you guys, to be honest. So I'm going to play one interesting song that I just found. And it's by this band called Counterparts. And it's sort of like a hardcore punk and indie rock. And yeah, I've never like heard any of that song before, but I'm just gonna play and see how it goes, okay? And it's on the album called No Hope for the Lost. And the music itself is called Monster Among Men. So I hope it's not too bad. Let's listen to that. Hey, I'm not gonna lie, but I just think it's not the vibe. The vibe is maybe going back to the great music that Basia was playing. I was playing by Basia before, obviously. She was not playing it herself. But no, I'm gonna play the song that I queued for to go after this one, but like, let's just do it right. So the song is called Already Forgiven, and then there's another one called Long Goodbye. I'm just gonna play Already Forgiven first and perhaps make like a conclusion to what I was saying. And yeah, I hope this one is not as interesting as the last one was. But yeah, let's listen to Already Forgiven.
They say in time it fades, forget where you had me. Why can't I look away from the face I've seen? Sat on those days we spent in the park, saw you chasing dreams down the boulevard, and I saw your
So you were listening to the last song that I'm going to play by the Canadian singer and songwriter Basia, and it was amazing to have stumbled upon her music, I would say. And you were listening to her music on the album, I'm gonna stop singing, on the album called Good Advice. And you were listening to Already Forgiven and The Long Goodbye. And I just think I might just, like, maybe it's more personal, but I will just say it so that I have a record of it for myself, that I think I should forgive some people and just say goodbye and not hold grudges against them anymore. Because I think I'm kind of like a person who cannot function by being angry on someone else. So yeah, I think I should forgive and, like, say a nice long goodbye, because it's about that time that I should do it. Anyways, maybe I will tell backstory of this sometime down the line. But before I do that, and maybe while I try to process it, maybe I will just conclude the argument that was being made in the book that I was referring to, is that recommendation systems hinge on this idea of, like, having global connections across a network of people, and that is assumed to be happening on homophily idea or, like, heterophily. But it's more complex than that. Just connecting people in network or leaving some people out is not the way it should be, because it does not just change how social networks happen online, but also impact how governments can make decisions. So yeah, be very careful when you say or what you mean by when you say algorithms are everywhere and it's so great that we don't have to think and we just, like, get these crazy recommendations. How does Google know what I want? Well, there's nothing to be happy about it. It's a sad moment. And I really hope that we realize that it's a sad moment before it's too late. But nevertheless, that's the sort of spiel that I had to talk about Wendy Chen's book. But I highly recommend you guys reading it. And the time is almost over, so I'm just gonna play one last music and say goodbye to you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk about things that I find interesting and my research and, like, all those cool ideas, because yeah, it's so great. So I have Shawn Mendes and his music, There's Nothing Holding Me Back. I know it's an old song, but I just rediscovered it somehow, so I'll let you guys listen to it.
Cause every time that she gets close, yeah, she pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. And maybe I should stop and start confessing. Confessing, yeah. Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. She says that she's never afraid. Just picture everybody naked. She really doesn't like to wait. Not really into hesitation. Pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. Oh, and maybe I should stop and start confessing. Shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. Mind and we took it way too far. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. And we stumbled in the dark. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright. Cause if we lost our minds and we took it way too far, I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. We stumbled in the dark. I know we'd be alright. We would be alright. Oh, I've been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
So yeah, that was Shawn Mendes with his very famous song called There's Nothing Holding Back. And I won't tell you guys why I was listening to it, because there is no particular reason, actually. I just had it on my playlist, and I just put my playlist on shuffle and it just popped up. And I played it for you guys because I love you guys, and I really appreciate everyone or anyone who really listens to this music or listens to Tune In for CJSF. Really appreciate each one of you. And that is all of my time that I had. Maybe next week I have some more interesting things to share, life updates that are much better than this one. I know a long weekend is coming up, so stay hydrated and enjoy the sun.